I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right. Good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. Before I get into the show, I have to do this. Right before I started in on the show today, I got a text to my personal cell. I think we've got a fraudster in training. I got a text in from Tai Chi Hep Huang Tra 584719 at Gmail. And the text reads, the USPS package arrived at the warehouse but could not be delivered due to incomplete address information. Please confirm your address in the link. And the link is not even hyperlinked in this thing. He says, please reply yes, then exit the text message and open it again to activate the link, or copy the link and open it in your Safari browser. The USPS team wishes you a wonderful day. Boy, I'm just so curious as to what package has not been delivered. I need to, I tell you what. You know, I see these scams. The reason this fits into my show is because it's kind of like, I'm going to talk a little bit about it today, kind of like our foreign policy or false flags or misleading things that the government does. They've gotten so lazy and sloppy that it's so insulting to my intelligence that they try to get this stuff over on us. This is my big beef with some of just the worst government operations, is that they keep doing the same things over and over again. I guess it's because it works. I guess Tai Chi Huang, or whoever that is that sent me that text, as dumb as that is, as ridiculous as that is, when I look at that, one of my first thoughts is, oh, somebody's going to fall for that. I would imagine that was a mass text that got sent out. How many people you think opened it as I was speaking about it? 20? 50? 200? Oh, Lord. God save humanity. I don't know if we've gotten dumber. There's always been snake oil salesmen. There's always been con men. But I think the bar has been lowered as to how successful they are. Anyway, I won't reply. All right, we'll get the show started in earnest here. Quotes of the day today. Harry Brown, he was a Libertarian Party candidate. I can't remember when he ran. It was either in the late 80s, early 90s, I believe, but a good Libertarian. His quote of the day is, quote, Republicans campaign like Libertarians and govern like Democrats. Amen. See, that's why I was a Kool-Aid-drinking neocon Republican in the first place, is that I actually was already a Libertarian. I was just tricked into thinking that Republicans were small, limited government Libertarians. And they tricked me. The Republican Party is worse than Tai Fong Du, who sent me that thing. They actually tricked me. I ran across a thing on Twitter. Comedian Dave Smith, Libertarian comedian Dave Smith, had replied to somebody who said this, quote, I can only imagine the internal struggle of having to speak your mind while knowing you are going to alienate a good portion of your fan base. That's what this guy said to Dave Smith. And I thought, I understand that. Having to speak your mind while knowing you are going to alienate a good portion of your fan base is pretty much the motto of this show. Dave Smith replied, he said, it's really not a struggle. I decided a long time ago that I'm going to tell the truth and let the chips fall where they may. Life gets much better when you make that decision. I kind of agree with that. I'll tell you what, I don't have the most popular show. I won't have the most followers. I won't have the most downloads. But I also never have to pretend to be something I'm not. So I'm fine with my my little hardcore audience here that keeps up with me. Tucker Carlson, just kind of speaking, I guess we're going to open today with a little bit of libertarian stuff. Tucker Carlson just interviewed the great Ron Paul. And it's kind of interesting. I'm not going to play any clips from it. And you know, one of the reasons I'm not going to play clips from it is because Ron Paul verbally is past his prime, and it's heartbreaking. It's kind of like seeing a star you grew up with, and all of a sudden they're old and they've lost a step. I was always a big Rolling Stones fan. I'll tell you what, those guys still seem to be churning it out, but I don't know if I can stomach it. They're going to be down at Jazz Fest the Thursday before Jazz Fest starts, I believe. When somebody was asking me if I was going to go, I've seen the Rolling Stones 4 or 5 times, and I'll tell you, I don't even know if I have an interest to see them because I think it might be depressing to me as they lose a step. Well, Ron Paul, his mind is just as sharp as it's ever been, but his speaking style has always been a little, you know, it's not the slick marketing speech style that you need to win in American politics, because Americans don't like to think. They like to be sold something. They like to be pandered to. They like to be pat on the head. They want you to think that the politicians love you. And if they say the right things, you'll get the vote. Ron Paul has always been more of an intellectual, so I won't play any of the clips of that. But it was just interesting because Tucker Carlson, the most influential person in media today, he and I guess maybe Joe Rogan are kind of neck and neck on that. But particularly in conservative circles, Tucker is certainly setting the bar. And he correctly mentions that Ron Paul has gotten just about everything right over the past 3 or 4 decades now. And the thing that's so infuriating is that he gave you warning of it by about 20 years in every instance. This is infuriating and interesting all at the same time, because basically people won't react, particularly in large groups, until they are really forced to react. You know, there's a lot of talk on conservative media these days about Congress bankrupting this country, and it is quite obvious they are. If my understanding is, the House Republicans have, in a backdoor deal under Mike Johnson, have set up some kind of a spending thing they expect to get through the Senate. It will layer us with more debt. It will further bankrupt our country. Another Republican leader in the House has done a backdoor deal. And the only reason I even know that is because Thomas Massie is on social media screaming about it, as libertarians do. But we will not stop Congress from bankrupting this country until we have a full-on currency collapse. I mean, we have just seen reported 9% inflation, which we know is actually 18% inflation in this country. Much of it's still going on. And people in Mississippi will reelect Michael Guest, Roger Wicker, and Benny Thompson. They just will. We all know that they will. Because they don't, I guess they don't understand the warnings. They don't understand economics. They don't really think it matters. Until it does, and eventually it will. You know, Roger Wicker, in particular, he has legitimately suggested policies that would lead directly to World War III and the deaths of tens of millions of people, including Americans. And if we have World War III with Russia and their new buddy China, I would imagine it's not just our troops that would suffer in World War III, but probably people here on the continental United States. And Roger Wicker has suggested things like no-fly zones over Ukraine. I believe he suggested them for over Syria when Russia was asked to come in and help protect the Assad government. And Roger Wicker has gone out for these policies. World War III. Had Roger Wicker been king of the United States and had his way, we would already be in a hot shooting war with Russia. And yet, Mississippi will give him a cakewalk right back into office. It won't even be a contest. We all know that this is it. And many of the people here in the sound of my voice are just as disgusted with the spending. Just they probably a little angry, maybe a tad bit, that Roger Wicker tried to get us into World War III. But you know, when election time comes, you'll be so scared that a Democrat could get the seat that you just got to hold your nose and vote for the lesser of two evils. Is it a lesser of two evils between the guy who legitimately wanted to kickstart World War III and anybody else? I don't want a Democratic senator from the state of Mississippi. But Roger Wicker is not the answer to any of our problems. As a matter of fact, he's a major contributing factor to all of them. And unfortunately, it will not be until it's your husband or your child, your brother, your dad, your wife, your daughter that's killed in a war that most people will even care. And even then, and we've seen this because the Bushes sent kids off to fight and die in the sand for nothing. All kinds of foreign policy people have still been infesting our government after these horrific wars that have killed people. And as a matter of fact, we just put out the world's largest genetic experiment on a bunch of human guinea pigs. It's cost the lives of 500,000 people, millions other that are disabled from this thing, and people are lined up to cheer to vote for the people who started that policy. So Roger Wicker and Benny Thompson and Michael Guest, they'll all go right back into office for as long as they want in the state of Mississippi. And I hate to, I mean, Mississippi is not the only one. John McCain served until he died. Lindsey Graham is still in South Carolina. Nikki Haley was elected governor there. So I don't know. Ron Paul was right. You can go on YouTube and look at videos titled with that, Ron Paul was right. And yet people still cannot hear the warnings. They do not care because it hasn't happened yet. It's really one of these things. It's not too much harder than if you have a kid going to college. You know, my son's got a credit card, and I'll ask him from time to time. Now, he's not completely off the payroll of dad here, but I'll ask him, you know, make sure, hey, you're not loading up a bunch of credit cards. Not because I really sit in judgment, but because when I was his age, I was anyone loading up credit cards. Oh, it was good to go out to eat or go out to drink with Mike Madison in his early 20s because he had credit cards and he tried to buy friends. The shots were always on me. My son's more responsible than I was, but I always check on him because I understand what happens if he starts racking up massive credit card debt. I don't have to wait until they're coming and taking his stuff or he's filing for bankruptcy or he's crying himself to sleep at night because of the pressure of crushing debt. See, I can get ahead of that and try to stop it before it happens. Wouldn't it be nice if, as a nation, we had enough people who cared enough when they can see very obvious long-term consequences that they would actually step in and stop something before it happens? It does not appear to be the case in this country. We've just got to wait. We're not going to stop our foreign policy misadventures and bullying until World War III. We're not going to stop the spending until full financial collapse. We have every opportunity to do it. We just won't. Let the cold wind blow. Rough night in Jericho. If the walls fall in, guess I'll be saved by love. All right, I kicked off my show in a popular way, like it always is on Conservative Talk Radio, and that is to take after the Republican Party. Yeah, they're a disaster, but of course, the left is clinically insane. It's really quite a choice we've set ourselves up with here in the United States, isn't it? So now I'm going to go after the left a little bit. I ran across this next clip. It is Anna Kasparian and what's his name? Chink, whatever it is. And they have the Young Turks, it's a left-leaning, I don't know what it is, internet television show. I don't know if it's on TV anywhere. I really don't even watch television anymore. But this was a clip by the Young Turks. Look, this is almost laughable, but I found it pretty amazing. Essentially, what you're going to hear is Anna Kasparian pretty much telling you that all you right-wingers out there that are distrusting the government right now because you think they do evil stuff, that doesn't happen anymore. See, Barack Obama was brought in 2008 to turn the formerly anti-war and pro-civil liberties left into authoritarian warmongers, and he did a great job with it. He was able to successfully drop more bombs than George Bush did. He invaded more countries. He overthrew the government in Ukraine, and he got what was formerly the anti-war left, one of the redeeming features of the left, he got them to sit down and shut up. That's what presidents are best for. They always know they can't win the other side over. You know, there's some people in the middle who kind of go back and forth, but they know the hardcore partisans, and they're never going to win them over. A president's job, if it's a Republican, it's to corral Republicans and conservatives, to get them to do things that are against their best interest, because they know that the left can't do that to Republicans. And it's the same the other way around. They knew there were going to be a lot of conservatives and Republicans that would never embrace Barack Obama. That's not his job. His job is to take the left and take all of the constraints that the left put on government out of the way. And he was wildly successful at it. It doesn't matter who the president is. That's what they're there for. It's to, Judas goat their side. That's what they do. If you pay attention, if you look back at it historically, you'll see that that's the case. Well, the left has got a Judas goat their people into buying in and believing and loving the government. This is one thing that COVID, they did with the left, is get the government, you know, it's quite a feat, really. I've got to tell you, I wish I had the powers of persuasion of the mainstream media and the political class, because they got the left to go along with complete loss of civil liberties, complete loss of free speech, and they fell in love with pharmaceutical companies. If you had tried to do that in 2004, there's no way that happens. The left was anti-war, anti-establishment, pro-free speech, and anti-big pharma. It only took a few years, and suddenly the left has embraced all of those things, including the war machine. It's an astounding feat. I got to give it to them. Look, as I started the show saying, I get so irritated at bad con jobs. Well, the way they've pulled these things off has been truly amazing to me. Anyway, long intro. Here is Anna Kasparian telling you that the government might used to have been bad, but they're not bad anymore.
There was a time in America where the State Department the Pentagon would orchestrate and carry out coups in, you know, Latin American countries, for instance, or in Iran. Like, there was a time when the government engaged in all sorts of unsavory schemes across the globe. That's definitely true, okay? That's not the government we have today. How does anyone look at honestly, I don't think the current federal government is even competent enough to carry out a coup. I mean, they tried multiple times in Venezuela and failed. And like the way like the some of the MAGA Republicans, quite honestly, talk about the federal government makes me think, oh my God, they're asleep at the wheel. They don't understand just how incompetent the federal government is. They can't get anything straight. They can't get anything straight. And you guys think that they're wiretapping you and they're scheming and they're planning on throwing Tucker Carlson in prison for talking to Vladimir Putin? Really?
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, look, man, I interviewed the CIA agent a long time ago, about nearly 10 years ago. It was a really amazing interview. She told me about honeypot schemes and stuff, and how they trick their targets into thinking that they're going to get a sexual relationship. Like, it was an amazing, very candid interview. And she's like, look, this whole thing, and that deep state stuff on the right wing hadn't started yet. But she's like, the number one problem with the CIA is they've become bureaucrats. And
yeah. They don't do those things anymore. Now, I will tell you, I'll grant you the point Anna Kasparian's making, which is the government is completely inept and pretty bad at everything it does, but it's not that part of the government. The three-letter agencies like the CIA and the FBI, they're run by freaks and failures and, you know, just massively corrupt people. Because they get their position not because they're the best at anything, but because they can carry out the most evil plans that most normal people would just recoil from. Can you imagine being a regular person and someone comes and says to you, there's going to be a big protest out there for Donald Trump. What we're going to do is lead a bunch of people into the Capitol, trick them into coming in, and then once they get in there, we're going to turn on them. And we're going to turn them into villains and criminals. Even elderly ladies just strolling through between the velvet ropes, we're going to throw the entire Justice Department at them. We're going to ruin them financially. We're just going to destroy their lives to score some political points. Can you imagine being the head of an organization and going, yeah, that sounds like a plan. I think we can pull that off. See, because the people that run these organizations, the three-letter agencies, they're They don't think like us. This is one of the reasons I believe that a lot of people look at what we call or what they call conspiracy theories and they just laugh and they go, they would never do that. It doesn't matter if you explain to them it's historical fact. You know what the Tuskegee experiment was where they just gave people syphilis and then just pretended to care for them just to see what syphilis would do to the black man's mind? See, somebody in some government agency went, yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. Let's infect these people and we'll pretend that we're actually treating them so they'll keep seeing us and we'll just document their decline and the total destruction of their health and the people around them. Let's do that. And somebody at government signed off on it. Now, I don't have to go that far back, and I'll tell you what, I should probably take a break. I'll go ahead and go into this. Because she's right a little bit about sometimes they don't succeed. When Donald Trump and our government got so lazy that they just named a new president for Venezuela, that was a pretty bad, just, it was an embarrassingly bad attempt at a coup. Now, I will say, it's better than going in and shooting up the place. It's better than sending our troops to invade a country, but it was pretty laughable when they just get, and I commented it constantly at the time. I just thought, I mean, American politicians from Trump and Pompeo and the Defense Department and our bureaucrats and the diplomatic corps, they just went, okay, Juan Guaido is now the president. They did polls and only about 30% of the people in Venezuela had even heard of Juan Guaido, yet the American political class and the deep state here thinks we just get to name a new president. We're not even going to put any work into it. We're just saying, nope, he's the guy. And Venezuelans just went, what are you talking about? These are poor Venezuelans on their last legs economically, living in abject poverty, eating flamingos out of the zoo. And they were still smart enough to go, I don't think you get to just pick our president by naming him. So I celebrate that kind of failure and humiliation of the United States government when they do that. Now, to be fair, during that time that they did this to Venezuela, they did get to steal some oil tankers and some money, hold some funds. So the people that ran the operation, believe me, they got rewarded. Who got the money? When we stole the tankers full of oil from the Venezuelans, if you remember this time, We put a basically a blockade on Venezuela, and every now and then we would catch like a oil tanker going between Venezuela and Iran, and we would heroically swoop in and steal it. Not because they're committed of crime, not because it was anything, except that the United States just said, we won't let you trade your oil with anybody. Iran said, I'll trade oil with you. America says, no, we just go in there and steal it. Wonder where the money for all that oil goes. It didn't reduce the debt. I don't remember gas prices going down because of all this fresh Venezuelan oil that we had stolen. So it's just kind of interesting to think about, isn't it? Don't you feel like somebody probably makes some money when you steal, I don't know, what do these things carry, 100,000 tons of oil? Or 100, a million gallons? I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I know it's worth something. I know there's real money in stealing entire tankers full of oil. So somebody got paid, even if the coup didn't work. But when I get back, I guess I'm going to get into this. I'm going to go a little bit long here, but you know, I started thinking about this with Anna Kasparian when she says, basically, the government's too inept to do any of these things anymore. That was a long time ago. You know, that was the Tuskegee experiment. That was the assassination of Martin Luther King. That was the assassination of JFK. That was the attack on the USS Liberty. That was the false flag that left to Vietnam. That was the Oklahoma City bombing. I mean, all of these things pre-2000, all government operations. But they can't do that anymore. That's what she's trying to tell us. Well, it took me about a nanosecond to put together a list of the operations that have been run by these same agencies in the very recent future. We'll do that when I come back. Stick around. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. My email is mikemadison@wyab.com. If you'd like to communicate with me, I can't do a call-in show these days, but you may be able to add to this list. So in the last segment, we heard Anna Kasparian from the Young Turks saying that, you know, the agencies, these three-letter agencies, this deep state that everybody's so worked up about now, oh, they used to do bad things, but they don't do bad things anymore. They're too incompetent to do bad things anymore. I'm going to disagree with that. If you're quiet for just a second, if you turn your radio down, just really listen, you can probably hear some groans right now coming from the UK as Julian Assange is being slow-killed in a prison. One of the only courageous journalists left on Earth with any name recognition anyway, who brought us the truth about other horrible operations by our three-letter agencies and this deep state. He exposed the truth about him, and they threw him into a jail cell. And I'm going to say it again, regardless of how, like I say, I'll let the chips fall where they may. It was the Donald Trump administration, particularly Mike Pompeo, who persecuted and prosecuted Julian Assange and started the process of slow killing him that Joe Biden is trying to finish off as they want to extradite him to the United States. So, yeah, the intelligence agencies, they still have a little bit of power, Anna Kasparian. You look at what took place on January 6th. I've already described it a bit. Somebody had the plan. Let's not do a whole bunch of security here. Let's dupe these people into coming in. Most people just walked through peacefully. Matter of fact, we're going to lead them door to door. This was the cops. This was Capitol Police. This was FBI. This was that deep state led a bunch of people into a trap and now for 4 years have been mercilessly persecuting these people and destroying people under their feet, the J6ers. It's funny, you know, she mentions, are you serious? They act like Tucker Carlson's going to be put in jail for interviewing Vladimir Putin. I saw this clip, the clip that I played from Young Turks. It was right under a clip where Peter Navarro is being thrown in jail for contempt of Congress. He didn't used to be that way. They used to have some kind of presidential immunity when they were dealing with that close in the government. But no, they're going to go ahead and throw him in the jail. Because they still do have the power and they still do terrible things. Here's a few of the other things that just recently, these three-letter agencies that Anna Kasparian thinks are so inept they can't get away with anything anymore. Gain-of-function research. Gain-of-function research and COVID was a U.S. government operation. Now, when I first put this stuff down, I put down government operation on a few of these that I'm about to list off. And then I actually went back, even though you never see my notes and I should be able to just remember this as I'm reading these things off. I went back and put U.S. government in front of it because I want people to understand there may be some other governments involved in some of these things. But rest assured, the U.S. deep state is running a lot of these. Gain of function research and COVID was a U.S.-led operation. This was not some pathogen that just spontaneously appeared from a bat guano at some kind of a fish market in China. Similarly to that, again, sorry to say it, Operation Warp Speed was a U.S. government operation with full military rollout. Do you even remember that? Donald Trump used the U.S. military to roll out a private for-profit product, an experiment on the American people. Jeffrey Epstein was a U.S.-Israel government operation that ran for 30 years until just a couple of years ago. And I think there's a lot of us out here thinking nobody was held accountable for that. I guess they tell us Ghislaine Maxwell's in jail. I ain't so sure, to be honest with you, but maybe so. But that operation, I find it hard to believe that it just went up in ashes and everybody who was working for Epstein, trafficking a bunch of young girls around the planet, just quit and went to go work at a Wendy's. That stuff is probably still going on, and understand that that operation using Jeffrey Epstein by the U.S. government and the Israeli government, particularly the Mossad, was used to entrap politicians and very powerful people into doing what the deep state wanted. For 30 years, they trafficked children in order to compromise people to hijack governments and do what they wanted. The 2014 coup in Ukraine was a U.S. government operation. Now, Anna Kasparian says they're too inept to do anything. Well, they overthrew a democratically elected government in Ukraine and kicked off this huge money laundering operation that is at the verge of serious, serious war. You know, that thing keeps, it's, it keeps, I keep getting head faked and thinking, well, it looks like at least Ukraine's coming off the table. We're not talking about it much. Doesn't feel like the Republicans want to fund it. Although, I'd be very curious to know if Mike Johnson's behind-the-door deal to keep the government running involves some Ukraine spending. Maybe I should already know that. It wouldn't surprise me a bit. If Republicans get a few dollars for what they want, they just give away a bunch of dollars for stuff that other people want. But anyway, I keep thinking Ukraine is going to just die on the vine. And then I see headlines where French military is moving through. I can't remember where it was, Algeria, wherever it was. There's videos of giant convoys of French mercenaries heading on their way to Ukraine right now. This thing still is a powder keg, has no chance of dying down. Vault 7, back to Julian Assange, showed us that even when there are supposed cyber attacks by other countries, air quotes here in the studio, adversaries in the cyber world, it's actually a U.S. operation meant to frame another government. If you're familiar with many of the revelations of Vault 7, it showed that organizations like the CIA and other three-letter agencies, they can actually do hacks but leave the fingerprints of other governments there. So remember that and keep that little nugget that Julian Assange brought to you before Donald Trump had him thrown into a cellar. Remember that if we have this great cyber pandemic that Klaus Schwab is saying we might have, when they start pointing fingers at the Chinese or the Iranians or the North Koreans or the Russians or the Venezuelans or the Cubans, just remember, your own intelligence agencies have the tools to implicate anybody on a cyber attack at any time. The Nord Stream pipeline, the largest terrorist attack in terms of damage done financially, one of the largest environmental crimes in the history of the planet, strangely enough, in this world where we're supposed to be so worried about what gets up into our air, the Nord Stream pipeline was a U.S. government-led operation. The Ukraine money laundering scheme is a U.S. government operation. Al-Qaeda and ISIS, which are still very much around, every now and then you'll see, about every 6 months they bring up an ISIS scare story. Al-Qaeda and ISIS are U.S. government operations. Censorship against Americans is a U.S. government operation. It's been well documented. There's spooks all through Facebook and Google and all kinds of the hierarchy there and all their major headquarters. Changing the way we vote here in the United States was a U.S. government operation, and flooding the U.S. with illegal immigrants is a U.S. government operation. You think all these non-English-speaking people are just arranging these huge chartered jumbo jets to crisscross the country and land wherever they want? You think that just spontaneously happens? The drug war is a U.S. government operation in many regards. Now, you're always going to have drugs. There'll always be places, but they love all the money that's generated. The big banks are involved in it. The intelligence agencies are involved in the drug trade. It was the U.S. government policy to flood inner-city black neighborhoods with crack cocaine. On the record, that is what happened. And yet somehow, as I say, this great magic trick that they've been able to accomplish, somehow they've gotten the black community to cheer for anyone, more government. They want more government in their lives. I'm not speaking to any of my black listeners or any black independent thinkers there, but when it comes to the black community, particularly in the inner cities that continue to vote for candidates who are always promising them more money, we need more of that organization that gave our people syphilis, that used to beat us in the streets, that murdered Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, and that flooded our neighborhoods with crack cocaine. We want more of that organization in the inner cities in this country. They've actually somehow been able to pull that trick. And you can rest assured when it comes to U.S. government operations from these three-letter agencies, the deep state that Anna Kasparian says, it's not real anymore. All you MAGA people that are talking about the deep state, you're being ridiculous. That was stuff that happened a long time ago. I guarantee you, I would imagine there are major false flags. U.S. government operations ready to roll out pretty soon. Kind of feels, you know, this kind of election year, when tensions are already high, when animosity is already high, kind of feels ripe for something going on. You have also these three-letter agencies, probably FBI, that's marching around under swastikas, calling themselves, what, Patriot Front? And just some of the lamest displays of what is supposed to be white supremacist groups trying to stoke more racial animus and hatred. Now, to Anna Kasparian's point, they're pretty bad at it. Have you seen any of these demonstrations with these so-called, air quotes here in the studio, white supremacists that are all dressed up so nice and all have the high and tight haircuts? It's not fooling a whole lot of people, but it'll fool some. I see the news media covering it from time to time. So I'm just, that's a couple of long segments to say, I wholeheartedly disagree with Anna Kasparian that these three-letter agencies in the deep state is a thing of the past, man. No, it is very alive and well. And when you start to think, as I say, I struggle with this myself. To think that there is somebody who could rise up the ranks through the swamp and get to the very top and then sign off on some of these things. Christopher Wray, can you just imagine? And again, I'll go on the record saying, when Donald Trump announced Christopher Wray as head of FBI, there was only one place on conservative talk radio you were going to hear somebody tell you, you don't want this guy. This guy is one of them. And that was the Mike Madison Show the day he was announced. And I did just an ounce of research into it. But you can just imagine people go to Christopher Wray and go, hey, here's what we're thinking. We're going to take about 50, 60 of our guys. We're going to dress them up. We're going to cover their faces. We're going to get a bunch of swastika flags. And then we're going to go from city to city pretending to be white supremacists to stoke more racial animus in this country. And Christopher Wray goes, yeah, that sounds like a pretty good plan. Can you even imagine? See, we don't understand what we're dealing with these people. That's one of the problems, too. Not only the fact that we won't act until everything is just thrown into our face and we personally are suffering horrific consequences for things like the debt. We're not going to stop them spending until everything collapses. And then we're going to look around and go, and then we're going to let them, here's the thing that's really going to get me. We're going to let them get away with the, well, we never could have seen this coming. It'll be some kind of an event, right? It'll be the Japanese raising interest rates really fast and it just cascades through the banking sector. It'll be commercial real estate falling apart and 500 small regional banks go under it. And they'll say, well, I mean, we never could have seen this coming. And they'll get away with that again, because that's what they always say. They said it during 2008. They said it during 9/11. They said it during dot-com crash. They always go, well, you know, everything was going great, but just this one, you know, this thing that nobody could have foreseen happened, and suddenly this happens. See, we just do not understand what we're dealing with the deep state. It is still alive and well and up to no good, I assure you. Be right back. Woke up in my closet this morning. All right, final segment for the day. I only got a couple of minutes left. You know, look, I'm not doing anything about the deep state. I live my life in, I just pretty much try to ignore them. Doesn't mean they won't eventually get me, but I understand that the American people aren't ready to actually do anything about it. I can't do it myself, but just kind of try to raise awareness of what we're being subjected to that most people don't understand. I look for ways to disobey whenever I can, but, you know, it's not like I'm dismantling the system myself. Julian Assange tried. They made a, it's not like his example scared me. If I end up going to prison for something, and I don't know, I've had a good life. But it's really quite interesting that at the very least, what I can say about myself is I don't support it. Not even when my guy gets in charge. See, I believe what we're about to be treated to is 4 years of Donald Trump doing what Barack Obama did to the left, he will continue to do to the right, which is sit down, shut up, the white hats are in charge now, don't do anything, just wait for the plan to unfold. Did that for 4 years, what'd you get? School closures, church closures, business closures, a grand genetic experiment on unknowing people? At least I don't support this. One other thing I wanted to mention, kind of off topic here, but I've had this note for a while. Have you ever seen these pictures? Because when you think about freedom here in the United States and freedom in China, right? We think that, you know, things are not great here, but at least we're not China. I have been running across several clips. There's something, and I should have clipped the name. I don't even know if I could pronounce it, but you'll see houses, like a highway, a busy highway will be going through somewhere in China, and then it diverts, and like the southbound lane goes on one side of a house, and the northbound lane goes on the other side of the house. This house is just parked in the middle of two busy interstates, or a train track will just zip right by a house, or big, huge condominiums or new development is there, and there's this one old house just sitting there. And there's a term for this in China, but what was really fascinating to me is in the United States, that can't really happen anymore. See, in the United States, our government will use something called eminent domain, and if you don't take one of their offers, be it a good offer or a bad offer, if you just want to live the rest of your life left alone on your own property and you don't play ball, our government comes in and they take your property. Now, I don't want to live under Chinese communism. I'll say it again, I'm a libertarian, as far away from communism as you can get, but I do find it fascinating that somehow citizens in China can refuse to sell to developers and to the state in China. If they really want to hang on to their house, apparently, at least in some places, they can do that. That is a freedom we don't even have here in the United States. Do we actually have less property rights in the United States than they have in communist China? Is that where we have found ourselves? It's pretty fascinating. There may be more to that story. There may be other reasons that these people didn't have to sell, but the Chinese just bulldozed hundreds of thousands of other homes. I don't know. But it's pretty fascinating if you see that, because that's the way it struck me. I thought, oh my God, a Chinese peasant in a shack can stand up to a developer and keep their property in China. In the United States, nope, they just take it from you. Anyway, that's all the time I got. I'll talk to you next week.
Me and my